Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus defines love by his very action, by his very life, even by his own very sacrifice. But how, what does that mean? How did Jesus love? If we were to love as Jesus loved, how did Jesus love? Well, when little children wanted to come up to him, he loved them by inviting them to come and to sit on his lap and to participate in his presence. But when thousands of his followers, confused by the bread of life discourse, wanted to leave, wanted to depart and go away, he loved them by letting them go. When his disciples are sailing across the Sea of Galilee, he loves them by letting them do what they know how to do. And he goes to the back of the boat and takes a nap. But when the storm rose up and it was too much for their skill and they were in danger, they were in fear of their lives, Jesus loved them by getting up and calming the storm. Accepted by his disciples, he loved them by teaching them the very secrets of the kingdom of God. But rejected by the Pharisees and by the establishment in Jerusalem, he loved them by weeping over the city of Jerusalem. Jesus' love is very multifaceted. He comes to us in our need, and he is always there, always inviting, but never demanding. He is always there to teach and to instruct and to guide those who accept them, accept him. But he never violates the will of those who are intent on rejecting him. Jesus' love is very different, and it's very pure. Now, we actually have in our society, in our culture, a crisis of definition of love. We love our spouses, we love our children, but we also love football, especially the Chiefs. And we love baseball when Salvi pops one over the fence. We love Italian food or Mexican food or fast food. We love happy hour. And we even love a bargain. So how can we use the same word to describe our relationships in our family and a clearance sale? In fact, in the Greek, as many of you know, there are actually three words that we translate love, and they share different aspects of love. There is that word for exciting love, the love of excitement. We call that eros, which is often misinterpreted as erotic love. It's not erotic love, but it's exciting love, that love of excitement. And then there's familial love, love within the family, that close bond of a family, which in Greek is phileos, that brotherly love, that familial love. And then there's that agape love that demonstrates itself through self-sacrifice for the good of the one you love. That's the love that the Bible uses to in the Song of Songs to describe the love between husband and wife. That's the love that the Scripture uses to describe the love of God towards us. And it's the word that the Scripture uses to describe the way we're supposed to be loving one another, through that self-sacrificing, self-giving love. I think in many ways, in fact, in the Scripture often does this, usually in the Scripture, God is always portrayed as a father image. But when it wants to talk about the love God has for us, it often shifts to a mother image. Jesus stood and says to Jerusalem, "Oh, I wish I could gather you as a hen gathers her chicks." And while the first two words for eros and phileos, they are indeed masculine, agape is a feminine word, most strongly representing the love of a mother towards her children, that nurturing desire to cover, to hold, to protect. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Faced with a lost humanity that was determined to destroy itself, Jesus loved us by becoming one of us so that he could reveal, he could be the perfect revelation of God. He could show us who God is by his very life, by his very act, by his act of self-sacrifice. And then, having accomplished the redemption of mankind, having saved us and purchased us from destruction and death, he ascended to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit so that he could be intimately present with every single one of us. Love one another as I have loved you. You know, as a priest, often I wind up dealing with people who are getting married, or I deal with people who are just having marital issues. And sometimes that goes well. People learn what sacrificial love is, that they can live a sacrificial love in their communion as husband and wife, and sometimes it does not go well. J. Edwin Orr, who is a Protestant minister and has written many books on marriage and family, tells the story of a pastor who had a marriage situation, a couple in there in his parish that were married, and they could not get it. They couldn't understand what self-sacrificial love for the good of the other was. They couldn't grasp it. And so finally, the wife came to him, the pastor, one day, and she says, I've had it. I'm done. No more counseling. I am leaving this guy. I'm going to divorce him, but not right away. I'm not going to divorce him until I have hurt him as much as he has hurt me. Well, this pastor, being a very wise man, made a suggestion to her. He says, well, if you really want to hurt him, do this. He says, go home and just pretend that you love him more than anyone else in the world. When he comes home from work, give him a big hug and a kiss and tell him how wonderful he is. Praise him for everything he does that is good, for all of his good character traits. Serve him his favorite meals and take care of him and just shower him with pretend love. And then once he is absolutely convinced that he is the pure love of your life, then drop the bomb. Say, I'm divorcing you. She's like, that's a great idea. That'll really hurt him. So she goes home and she goes for it with gusto. He comes home from work and she gives him a big hug and a kiss. She's cooked his favorite meal. She praises him. She tells him how wonderful he is. And that goes on for 2 months. And then the pastor sees her again and he asks, so are you ready to get a divorce now? She says, absolutely not. I love this man. See, often emotion follows the motion. Because love is not a feeling. We can love, we can say we love football, we can love our wife, because we define love by how it makes us feel. When we define love by how it makes us feel, then that is such a shallow misrepresentation of love. No wonder people come to me sometimes and they say, I don't want to be married anymore. That man is no longer meeting my needs. Or a man comes to me and says, I don't want to be married in the war. That woman no longer excites me. But love is not defined by how it makes us feel. Love is defined by how we treat one another. Love is a doing. And love is a choice. And when this woman who wanted to leave her husband made the choice to do, then her whole world was transformed, and she discovered what love truly was. Now, in our own lives, often we are faced with people that we just don't want to love, do we? They're annoying. We wind up going to church with them, but boy, do they ever annoy us. But if we live in the action of love, even to those who annoy us, then our hearts will be transformed into the heart of Christ when we follow Jesus' words, love one another as I have loved you. And so often the feeling follows the doing, but the feeling is not the goal. The goal is unity, that we would be one, especially true in the marital relationship, that we would be one, but also true in the church, that we would be one, made one by our act of love towards one another. And when we discover that unity that is brought about by love, then we also discover the joy and the peace that Christ always promised us.